Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're going to be here for the next 25 minutes talking about what's happening in our country and in our world. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Steve Jordahl has joined us from the American Family Radio News team. And we will open with Steve momentarily, but first let me say that we've got our Holy Land tour coming up in March, and we're almost halfway full. Our seats are almost halfway full, so this has been a very popular trip the last 2 years, and a lot of people have this on their bucket list. Obviously, there are a lot of different groups that go to the Holy Land, but if you want to go with ours, or at least look into going with our group in March, most all these people are AFA and AFR folks who go. Almost all of them are. So you will be with people of like mind and like heart if you go with us, traveling to Israel March 14th through the 22nd. I won't go into all the details. You can read about that at our website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. But last year, this tour filled up in like September. That was shocking. We never had it fill up that quick before. So if you want to find out about the trip in March, go to twholyland.com. Or if you want a brochure sent to your house, you can call. What's going on over there, Steve? What we got going on over there? It's making a lot of noise. Mixed drinks. We don't serve alcoholic beverages on this show, Steve.
No alcohol involved. Okay.
But can I finish my ad here?
Yeah, I think you could.
Okay, well, you were making a lot of noise over there.
Sorry. I didn't hear it. I thought it was being quiet.
Okay, so anyway, back to my promotion of the tour. You can order your brochure, and we'll send it to your house or wherever you want us to send it by calling 800-FAMILIES, 800-326-4543. Option 5, leave us your name and your address, and we'll mail you a brochure on the Holy Land trip. Again, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we will send you a brochure. Now, just for the record, Steve was mixing up water, right? Oh, you got something in your water called Wildberry Fitness? Is this some kind of fitness drink?
It's one of those dry powder that makes it flavors the water a little bit.
Yeah. Is this a kick your own, or do you do this?
No. It actually is part of, we're having a water challenge here at American Family Association.
We are.
Part of our push for fitness.
I haven't participated yet, but.
I have been.
What's the idea behind the water challenge?
Drink a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drink a lot of water.
Yeah. And point being what? It's healthy for
it's
you?
It's very healthy for you. Yeah. A lot
Stay
of water.
Hydrated.
Can't you overdo it, though? I've heard of people like overdoing.
You'd have to drink a lot of water to overdo it.
A majority of people underdo it quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most people don't drink enough water.
How much water are you supposed to drink a day?
Well, the challenge is 64 ounces a day, I think, they want us to drink.
60. I think somewhere between 6 and 8 glasses of water a day.
So this would be 2 probably, right?
Yeah, that's probably 64
2. 64 ounces
6 of these
a day of water?
Yep.
Okay, when I leave home in the morning, I grab a bottle of water out of my fridge.
12 ounces.
That's 12 ounces? Mm-hmm. So I'm supposed to drink 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those during the day? Well, that would create other problems. So anyway, all right, Steve.
That's good morning.
That's neither here nor there. How much water you drink's your business, Steve. Has nothing to do with your job performance, I don't think.
No,
does it?
No. If it's up to AFA, I'm doing a better job because I'm healthier now.
Okay. All right. What do you got?
I wanted to talk about our friend Rich Pankoski. Do you remember we had this pastor on not too long ago, and he was having problems with Facebook at the time. Well, the problems continue.
I don't remember that. I must have been out of town.
No, I don't
what
know.
What was it about?
He was having problems because he was being taken down because his pages were being taken down, and he says it was because he was being trolled by gay activists who were sending literally a million rainbow emojis to his page and got into a spat. Somebody was picking on him, and Facebook ended up taking down his page when he pushed back a little bit on the...
Okay.
Anyway, he's in the news again, and this time, this is just outrageous, and I wanted to kind of warn our listeners that Facebook is not necessarily a safe place. We can have a discussion. Walker and I were just talking about this briefly. There may be a couple different issues going on here, but this is the story. There's this woman who has been harassing Pastor Pinkoski online.
Where's he from? What church is he?
He's from West Virginia.
Okay.
And he's got an online congregation that has a couple hundred thousand people that pay attention to what he says and everything. So he's pretty popular. And so he has been on – this woman from a different state has been harassing him. And she kind of upped her game a little while back when she put a picture of a known pedophile, identified that picture wrongly and on purpose wrongly as Pastor Rich Pinkoski, and accused him of being a pedophile, a sex trafficker, and a child pornographer. And when he complained to Facebook... Facebook said it didn't violate their terms of service to call this pastor all those awful things. So we had he invited me on a call that he had with Facebook representatives on Friday, and I wanted to play you a little bit of his part of the conversation of what he was saying that Facebook, how they have not helped him out. Now, I can't...
He's making an appeal to hear... to Facebook to resolve this problem because he's being smeared.
Right.
This woman is trying to, I got this right, trying to make it appear that he's a person he's not.
Right. They're accusing him of vile things.
Okay, and he's appealing to Facebook to correct this problem.
Well, he's appealed to law enforcement to correct it, and they have drawn up charges for this woman on felony stalking.
Okay.
But... Facebook says he did that the woman didn't do anything
wrong. So who are we about to hear? And did they know they're being taped?
They did know they were being taped. They were going to hear from Pastor Rich Pinkoski on this call to them. Their side of the conversation was what journalists call on background, meaning I can't play them speaking. I can summarize what they say, which I will do, But I can't play their voices. But I have their voices. I'll play it for you later if you want, Tim. You can tell them so you can know I'm telling the truth. But listen to Pastor Rich's Cut 7, Adam. This is what Pastor Rich, in his conversation with Facebook, what he described as happening.
She went on your platform and said that I was a pedophile, a child pornographer, and a sex trafficker. She posted a picture of an actual pedophile, not me, and said it was me as an alt-ID. I've done everything you guys said to do. Report. I sent it to you, and nothing. Homosexual sinners is hate speech, but Rich Pinkoski is a sex trafficking pedophile because he's a member of the alt-right Christian whatever, and yet that didn't violate. My issue here is this woman has put me and my family through on Facebook specifically, and Facebook did nothing. Nothing. We report everything. Everybody keeps asking me, the police officer at Olathe, the judge at Circuit, why is Facebook allow this to continue? If they have stopped this, we would not be going to court. I would not have to worry about my family.
So there, he's telling Facebook that they have put him through a bunch of problems. The beep there was when he said that his Facebook, this woman has put him, he and his family through not heaven.
Right.
and so I guess the warning is you're not safe on this platform.
Right.
He's right when they took his page down. Because he said homosexuals are sinners. But yet, when they call him a pedophile,
mm-hmm. Well, hopefully
they don't do anything.
Or at least haven't done anything yet.
No, well, he's been at this. He's sent them dozens of examples.
Wow, really?
They've written back to him.
And said what?
Every
Has he
time
tried blocking, blocking from them viewing his page,
sure.
Et cetera?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, she's on a restraining order. She's not allowed to go there anymore. It doesn't mean that she can't post it elsewhere and that it doesn't get back to him.
Right.
And
I have mixed feelings about this because if you go to banning her speech, then they can ban our speech. So I think
either
Facebook.
She's smearing him. She's smearing him as a child.
Well, it's not the first time people have falsely accused people of stuff on Facebook. I mean, it's Facebook.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess what I'm getting at.
That's my point, is that it's not a safe environment.
Go ahead. I would just say the fair thing to do if you're Facebook would be to say, this pastor's, he can prove that this is not him. This woman is using his pictures. If I understand this story correctly, she hates him.
Yep.
So she's accusing him of being a child.
She's throwing stuff up against the wall.
Okay, and he can prove that that's not him, this is not true, then Facebook should, what's he asking them to do exactly now?
He wants them to ban her.
Well, they should.
He wants to know why they allowed it to happen. Since this, he has received death threats because of another Facebook inaction. An actual pedophile showed up at his door asking to take his children out for lunch, for a dessert.
How did you find out about this story?
I'm in contact with this guy. He's been fighting Facebook. I've been covering some of his travels.
What's his name?
His name is Pastor Rich Pankoski.
From where?
From West Virginia.
Read about this on our website?
They can read about it at onenewsnow.com.
Okay, next story.
All right. Another court case. I know you guys have been talking about judges and everything, but there is a case that's going through the federal courts. The name of the case is Whole Woman's Health versus Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops. The state of Texas passed a law that said that if you cannot just toss the bodies of aborted babies in the trash, you have to give them a burial or a cremation. And Whole Woman's Health thinks that's wholly inappropriate for some reason.
What is Whole Woman's Health?
It's an abortion clinic in Texas.
What a name.
I know.
Yeah. Very
so
deceiving.
I don't know why they decided that it's wrong. A Catholic bishop diocese came forward and said, we'll do it for free. Send us the bodies and we will bury them. We will cremate them, however they're going to do it. But they were going to do it for free in compliance with the law. And anything that has the word abortion in it, if it's introduced by conservatives or pro-lifers, it doesn't matter if it's a common sense. It doesn't matter if it doesn't affect Whole Woman's Health. They're going to oppose it. So they asked for all the internal communications of this Catholic bishops, the Conference of Catholic Bishops in Texas. And a lower court judge says, sure, you can go and look at all the internal communications over the last, I think it's 10 years of anything they've said internally or externally about abortion. So you're getting into pastors and priests' conversations about theology, and the government is going to subpoena those records. And a lower court judge says that's just fine. Now there's an appeal going to the Fifth Circuit, and some
what's
groups
the, where's the
in.
Link to the story so I can post that on the Facebook page?
I'm getting the page I have is up at BeckettLaw.org. The Beckett Fund, or Beckett, I guess now they're called, is the law firm that's representing this group. So if you go to Beckett.org, you can find this here. Just outrageous, another intrusion of government into, I mean, this is akin and maybe just exactly the same of when California, I think it was, that asked to see pastors' sermons to see if they were kosher.
That was in Austin, Texas. May have been California too, but Austin, Texas, 3 or 4 years ago,
that's
the mayor subpoenaed the pastor's sermon.
It was in Houston.
Was in Houston?
Yeah, it was in Houston, all right, well, you know, so this was a law passed by the state legislature, signed by the governor in Texas, saying that aborted babies had to be buried or cremated?
That's right.
Has that been tied up in court, or has that been
sure,
in practice?
The lower court judge ruled, it's being challenged. I think it's in force right now. So this is reading from the Beckett Fund. In December 2016, Whole Woman's Health, a group that runs an abortion clinic around the country, sued the state of Texas to challenge a law that requires abortion facilities to bury or cremate aborted human remains rather than send them to a landfill or flush them into the sewer system. After the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops stood in support, Whole Woman's Health retaliated by serving the bishops with a subpoena in March, demanding access to decades worth of the Catholic bishops' communication regarding the topic of abortion. And I read something
here. I wonder why that matters.
What matters what?
Why would this abortion clinic care what the Catholic bishops had said about abortion all these years? I mean, don't they know? They're pro-life.
Well, somewhere in here I read that this church bishop, this diocese, had stepped up to say they would do it, but the law says that the abortion clinic should how they should dispose of it, and they don't want to be told anything. No restrictions on abortion.
Well, the reason the abortion clinic / abortuary, whatever you want to call it, doesn't want to submit to this is because it humanizes the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you bury the baby or you cremate it, then you're recognizing it as a valuable person. And the abortion clinic does not want to acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to acknowledge that. So that's the reason for the resistance.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're
saying, what do they care? Just if the Catholic Church wants to bury them, just give them to the church every afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
The aborted babies.
They're willing to bury the truth, but not the babies.
Mm-hmm.
Duly noted, Steve. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Steve Jordahl. Steve, what's next?
A lot of stuff going on south of the border. They had a presidential election down there. And Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, or AMLO, as they like to call him. I practiced. Leave it to the professionals. He has won this election, at least as they're counting. He is as an insurmountable lead. He is a Bernie Sanders type, let's say. He's a very liberal, socialist type candidate and president.
What does that mean? In Mexico, I mean, how far left do you have to be considered a what is he called?
I've called him a leftist socialist.
Okay.
I'm not sure what party. I don't know if the party actually says socialist, but it is the left, the liberal party.
Gotcha.
So, and the way he got elected was the same way that liberals here try to get elected: promise the people free stuff. They want he plans to sell the presidential plane, okay, turn the presidential palace into a park and live in his tiny house in Mexico City, the new presidential mansion.
You're serious?
No, I am serious. Yeah.
Okay.
He's offered things like free access to the internet, a doubling of pensions for the elderly, educational grants for students, an increase in the minimum wage, subsidies for small farmers, and subsidies for single moms.
Is he going to make America pay for it?
Yeah, probably not. I don't know how he's going to know how they're going to pay for it.
That's what I'd have ran on.
This guy is a vocal opponent of President Trump. Just does not like the president. However, this is what he said. Of all the candidates, this is according to an expert with the Mexico Institute at the Wilson Center here in the United States. Of all the candidates, Andres Manuel is probably the least enthusiastic about bilateral relationships with the U.S., but he recognizes that relationships with the U.S. is fundamentally important. His election is going to make life more complicated for the United States. He is in favor. He's doing nothing about stopping Central American and South American immigrants who are trying to cross illegally or legally into the United States. He's doing nothing about that. He really wants nothing to do with stopping Mexican nationals from crossing the border.
I wonder where he stands on the drug cartels that seem to run Mexico. I think over 200 politicians the past year have died at the hands of the cartels.
Indeed, he's opposed to the cartels. He does not believe. I mean, he's opposed to drugs.
I don't know how this gentleman expects to pay for all this stuff that's going to be free for all Mexicans.
Well, the same way that Venezuela is paying for theirs.
Well, they're completely
right now. They're paying for it in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yeah, Venezuela is not exactly your model country to.
I wouldn't.
No, the left doesn't want to point at Venezuela for their utopia.
You know, it's you get votes by promising people stuff, people free stuff. A lot of that appeals to a lot of people.
Yep.
But then you have to, you know, come to the reality of how do I pay for it? Well, how do I pay for it? How do you pay for your promises? Then you have to tax people more. And if you tax people more, then you run the risk of harming your economy.
But what they say is they say they're going to tax the rich, like they say in this country.
Okay.
There's not, for the free stuff that Bernie Sanders offered, for example, there's not enough rich people in the world in the United States to pay for that. Mm-hmm. So it does trickle down. And when you're taxing the rich, they're already paying a hugely disproportionate percentage of taxes. And they are generally the employers. A lot of these wealthy are wealthy because they employ a lot of people. You're cutting down on...
You mean there's enough rich Mexicans to make all that work?
Well, one of the richest... There isn't, but one of the richest men in the world is a Mexican. Can't remember his name, but...
No, he owns a phone company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, we'll see if this works in Mexico, because if they're going to start trending like Venezuela, it's not going to end well.
And it's dangerous to have that much unrest at our border.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, already got problems.
You think poverty and people escaping or trying to cross is a problem now? Mm-hmm. If Mexico were to turn...
Has this new president of Mexico promised to help the U.S. with our border, keeping people from crossing into the U.S. elite?
He is not. What he has done is he wants to renegotiate NAFTA, and so does President Trump. That's what I think President Trump is looking at as a common starting point for a relationship with this gentleman.
Yeah, well, okay. So, but from two different angles, the president would want to renegotiate NAFTA to favor the U.S., I guess, or to make it fairer.
Yeah.
He would say fair. So, but on what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his NAFTA proposals are, but I know that the president has tweeted out a congratulatory tweet to him and said that he's looking forward to working with him. I mean, you have to say that, right? To the neighbor to the south.
Free stuff for everybody.
There you go.
Okay. What else? You got one minute.
I got one more.
Steve.
I got one more. A bombshell. This is going to change everything. Your theology, anyway, according to a historian and an author and journalist. His name is David Bienstock. All the miracles that Jesus performed were because he was using marijuana, oil, cannabis.
You're on your own, Steve.
Go ahead. Just so everybody knows, I don't buy this. But he's saying that.
Who is this?
This is a guy named David Bienstock.
Don't buy his books.
Don't buy his books. All the miracles are attributed to Jesus are because of cannabis, he says.
That's not true.
You can't make this stuff up.
No. Nope.
Actually, he did make this stuff up, didn't he?
Yeah, he made this
up. You can make this stuff up.
All right. Steve Jordahl, thank you for your contributions to this program.
My pleasure.
Well, we did miss Ed Battagliano today, didn't we, Walker?
We did.
Ed's taking the week off, I guess. I don't know what he's doing. Take care of his five or six dogs.
Vacation.
Yeah. Mowing his grass. Which he told me he hated his grass.
Think he's listening to...
He wanted to kill his grass.
To today's...
Because he didn't want to mow it anymore. Yeah. All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time for another edition of Today's Issues.